Morning, church. If I haven't met you, my name's Teresa. I mainly worship at the Mount Albert campus, so that's why you might not see me around, but you will probably usually see me running around the kitchen once a month when I'm on morning tea here. So if I haven't met you, come and say hello when you see me. So as Simon said today, we are having there's a lot in today's passage, but we are focusing on the story of Lydia and her gospel hospitality today. So we'll unfortunately have to miss the big chunk of Paul and Silas' story. So, who is Lydia? I wonder how many of you know Lydia. She is not very well known in the New Testament because she really only appeared in this passage today. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about who she is and explore her gospel hospitality. So we know she was from Thyatira. She's a dealer of purple cloth and she lives in Philippi. But more importantly, she was called a worshipper of God. This term, worshipper of God, is used to describe a Gentile, a person who's not a Jew, but who really wanted to worship the God of Israel. And she had a genuine faith in God because she was gathering with other women praying together near the river. And it's been suggested that the prayers of these women might be the reason why the Holy Spirit has led Paul to go to Philippi instead of Bethania. And we can read about this little part of the story a little further up from today's passage from verse 6, which is on the screen. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I think I'm going to put up a map of Paul's journey. It might be a bit small, but hopefully you can see the little red cross at the top on the right-hand side. This is where Paul was going to go to, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. So he ended up going to the other side, from Troas into Europe and then to Philippi, where the women are. Okie dokie. Where am I? So because of this move across to Europe, Lydia became the first convert in Europe, and the door of the gospel to Europe was open. So Lydia's story was very similar to a story of a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was another Gentile. He also worshipped the God of Israel. He was led to faith and baptized by the Apostle Peter. And his story is in Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to just read the beginning and the end of the story for you. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. At the end of the story on verse 48, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. You might like to read this whole story at home later, because his story was the turning point in the New Testament. His encounter with Peter enabled and initiated the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. And there was remarkably many similarities between his story and Lydia's. I've listed some of them on the slides. And they were both Gentiles who worshipped the God of Israel, and they both prayed regularly to God. And the gospel was presented to them by the apostles, who was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And they were both heads of their households. They and their household were baptized by the apostles soon after hearing the gospel. And they extended hospitality to the apostles. and they both initiated the preaching of the gospel to Gentiles. So straight after Lydia and her household was baptized, she showed hospitality to Paul and his companion, asking them to stay with her. Paul and his companions are traveling ministers. They don't have anywhere to stay because at that time in that region, there's no believers yet. So there's no one to host them. There were also no synagogues. So there's no base for their ministry because it is a Gentile area. And so this is why Paul, instead of going to a synagogue on a Sabbath day, like he usually did, had to go to the river where he found those women praying. Lydia was also formed the first gathering of believers in her house, which later became the first church, house church in Philippi. So she really is like the female counterpart of Cornelius, and she initiated the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles in Europe. Okay, now that we know a little bit about Lydia, I'm going to talk about her gospel hospitality. When we said hospitality, what do we think about? Having friends and family over for dinner? Maybe doing tea and coffee and a good cake at church for morning tea? But there's a difference between everyday hospitality and gospel hospitality. While everyday hospitality is about entertaining others, gospel hospitality is way more than that. The word hospitality in the Bible is the Greek word philoxenia, and it's made up of two words. First, phileo means to love, xenos means stranger. So together the word hospitality actually means love of strangers. In other words, the core of gospel hospitality is to love others. It is loving others by meeting their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs in a very practical way. And it's not just about being a good host and cooking good food. So while some people might think, oh, okay, I'm not a good cook, I'm an introvert, so hospitality is not for me, I propose to you that gospel hospitality should actually be an essential part of every Christian, because all Christians are called to love others. And so you can see the very first thing that Lydia did after she was baptized was to extend hospitality to Paul. In fact, so did the jailer in today's passage, as well as Cornelius. So they all did the same as soon as they were baptized. And now I'm going to look at hospitality as gospel-empowered and gospel-centered hospitality. So practically, what if I'm really not a good cook or if I'm an introvert? How are we going to actually show hospitality? Some of you might think it is easy for me because you see me running around in the kitchen. But to be very honest, I'm actually an introvert. And before I got married, I couldn't cook. The first meal I ever cooked for my husband, Conrad, he had about a couple of mouthfuls and said he was full. But I've learned over the many years as a Christian that if I open myself to allow God to work in me, God will empower me to do amazing things that I've never imagined I could do. So in the same way, Lydia showed us that her hospitality was empowered by the gospel. Now, the book of Acts is sometimes referred to as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because you can really see the Holy Spirit actively working among the people of God throughout the whole book. And it's the same in chapter 16. We can see the acts of the Holy Spirit. As we said earlier, the Holy Spirit stopped Paul from going into Asia and led him to Macedonia. We can also see that the Holy Spirit was at work in Lydia. She was a God worshipper, and she worshipped the God of Israel. But she didn't know anything about Jesus until Paul presented the gospel to her. And then the Holy Spirit opened her heart so that she can receive the gospel. But the gospel, the good news, is not just about Jesus' death and resurrection for our forgiveness for our sins so that we can have eternal life. The good news is also the promise that the Holy Spirit is given to all who believe. And Peter said in Acts 2, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." When she received the Holy Spirit, it empowered her. It empowered her with the knowledge of God's love for her. And in 1 John 4, it says, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they cannot see." So Lydia can love because she knew that God first loved her. His love had empowered her with the love and the desire and the ability to extend hospitality. And the Holy Spirit will also give us power. Jesus promised in Acts 1, chapter verse 8, which we are quite familiar with, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This power can help us overcome the barriers that are in the way of doing God's work. So what are the barriers for Lydia? At that time, Jews and Gentiles are not allowed to be in the same house, and they're not allowed to eat together. And there were also inequality between men and women. But Lydia said to Paul, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." It shows that she fully understands the gospel, and because of that, her equal standing with Paul as a believer. The Holy Spirit had broken her barrier with the spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is seen in Galatians chapter 3. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have closed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So you can see the Holy Spirit is able to break all kinds of barriers, not confined to culture, gender, or social standing. Let us reflect on our own barriers to extend hospitality to other people. Is it fear? Is it feeling of inadequacy? Is it lack of finance or time? Whatever we think our barriers are, we should allow the Holy Spirit to overcome the barriers for us. Now that we know that the gospel has empowered us to be hospitable, it is also very important to make sure that hospitality is gospel-centered. Otherwise, it will just become everyday hospitality. In verse 40, today's passage, it says, "After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left." And in this short little sentence, we can see that Lydia has shown hospitality to three different groups of people: the non-believers, the believers, and the workers for God. And let's look at the non-believers. Lydia was the first convert in Philippi, so the brothers and sisters gathering in her house must have been new converts. This has come about because she had opened her house for Paul to use it as a base to witness to other non-Christians. Because of her hospitality, the gospel was advanced. And hospitality is one of the biggest tools for reaching out to other non-believers. In our family, we have been doing what we call Open Christmas on Christmas Day for lunch. Since we are immigrants in Australia, we have a very, very small family. So we started inviting our friends who don't have any family or anywhere to go for Christmas to join us for Christmas lunch. And this has become a great way to show non-believers the spirit and meaning for Christmas, as well as Christian love and hospitality to other believers. One year, I invited a total stranger. She was an overseas student from India, and she was doing door-to-door survey as a part-time job. And seeing that she was here all alone by herself, I invited her over for Christmas. And she was able to meet other Christians and really experience Christian love in action. I was able to sow the seed of Christianity into her heart. And nowadays, my children will invite their non-Christian workmates and their Christian friends all together to come to Christmas. And in this way, Christian believers are able to celebrate this special time in the Christian calendar with other people, and they also have opportunity to share with the non-Christian who are coming. So by opening our house to non-believing friends, neighbours, family, we are able to provide more opportunity to witness to them in a very relaxed environment. But hospitality is not necessarily confined to our own house, although it's a very good place to start. There are many other opportunities at a community level that we can help with. For example, Alpha is also an excellent way for evangelism because of the hospitality provided. And Alpha have just started here at church. Would you think about it as a form of hospitality that you can serve in? Secondly, let's look at the believers that Lydia was being hospitable for. So it's obvious that Lydia had opened her house for the gathering of the believers. And this gathering in her house became the first house church in Philippi. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he acknowledged their involvement from the first day. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Philippi was also the base to send Paul further on to witness in Europe. And so Paul also said this to the Philippians, that they are supporting his ministry in Thessalonica, in verse 15. "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except for you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." So because of Lydia's hospitality, churches were established and nurtured. So even one small act of hospitality on a very personal level can produce a very big outcome in the kingdom of God. So applying this to ourselves, what might gospel-centered hospitality for believer looks like for all of us? I put up some examples on the slide, which you can have a look. And Conrad and I have been hosting Connect groups since we got married, so that's over 30 years ago. And as a result of this hospitality, we have built some lifelong friendships and felt very enriched in many, many ways. In the kingdom of God, we reap as we sow. And by extending hospitality, we always reap blessings. One of the very significant blessings in our lives is the gain of family. As I said previously, we have very few family members in Australia. As we hosted a Connect group many years ago, three single ladies in our group became very close to our family. They become aunties to our children, and they walk alongside them as they grew up. And my daughter, in her wedding speech, honoured them as the village that have helped to raise her. And then on the other hand, these aunties will say that our hospitality has allowed them to participate and enjoy family life and to know that they are not alone. Hospitality is not a one-way street. It is a blessing to others, but it also reaps lots of blessings. So let me encourage all of us to extend hospitality to the singles around us and really see this amazing blessing for them and for ourselves. Lastly, Lydia also clearly extended hospitality to Paul and his companions who were workers for God, preaching the gospel. John encouraged us in 3 John, verse 5. "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sister, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Let me say that last verse again. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. When we show hospitality to the workers, we became part of the ministry team. We are all called to do the work of God. Some to do the upfront, full-time traveling ministry, but others called to do the supportive role in prayer, financial support, and hospitality. And so things that we can do is maybe support and host missionaries, or even support the ministry team here at St. Hills. We can support missionaries in many ways. I'll give you an example. One of our mission partners, OM, sometimes need people to host people from overseas or interstate who are in Melbourne for training. So if you're interested to know about moral and to support this, you might like to speak to Stephanie Howe here at the 10 a.m. service. Or you might also think about supporting missionaries on home assignments, offering them food, anything they need, invite them over for dinner. And so how about our own ministry team here at St. Hills? Have you ever thought of inviting them over for dinner? For example, our very new worship pastor, Amanda Barnes, all the way from New South Wales here by herself. Do we think about extending hospitality to her so that we can work together with her? So remember, by extending hospitality to the workers, we became part of the ministry team. We as a church should be all working together for the gospel. So I put up a summary of some of the ways that I've talked about to practice gospel hospitality. But there's definitely many, many more other ways out there where our gospel hospitality will make a big difference. So let's take a moment to ask God to show us a new way for ourselves to practice gospel hospitality. And let us pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have first loved us so that we can love others. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to see new ways to practice hospitality. Help us to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome our barriers. Teach us to all work together as a team for your kingdom. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.